T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Is there like any way we can cancel this whole thing?
Yes. No.
Dad, it's like Emily turned out to be this whole different other person.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
All men are nervous the night before their wedding, right?
You mean all guys are nervous and anxious? I kind of hope she's a can of botulism.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Or maybe she could hang out with a deer and a hunter accidentally shoots her. Or you know when she's sleeping, she makes that nose whistle sound? What you'd really like to do is take her stupid little red toothbrush and ram it up her nostril into her skull?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
These are perfectly normal feelings.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. We got the mail sack coming up in the final hour. Get your questions in. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Lots more to get to. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on in the MLB playoffs as well. But it is Oregon and Washington week, ladies and gentlemen. 12:30 on Saturday up in Seattle. You can hear the game right here on The Fan, the home of the Oregon Ducks. Pre-game, post-game, the whole thing Saturday as the Ducks and Huskies revisit their rivalry. So we thought what better person to bring on than Dave Softy Mahler at Softy KJR on Twitter. Go give him a follow for all things Husky related. Softy, thanks, man, for hopping on with us. I'll just start. You had a video last year. Breathing heavy already. I love it. You had a video last year that Oregon fans quite enjoyed. Have you recovered from that yet?
I was sick that weekend, and if I knew what was going to happen, I'm glad I missed that trip last week or last year. I was sick as a dog and watching that game at home. So have I recovered from it? Yeah, I guess so. I mean, dude, I lived through 12 freaking years of getting beat by Oregon every single year, so I can handle one game.
Over the 12-year span, Softy, I want a guesstimation here. How many people did you block in Oregon during the 12-year span? Because my co-host was one of them.
Yeah, and are you still one of them?
No, I think I'm unblocked now.
You unblocked him after you beat him, yeah.
After well, we'll check on that when this interview's over. I would say my block list grows exponentially the week of the Oregon game, for sure. And then maybe after a couple, 2-3 weeks, after Oregon goes in the tank again, like they always usually do, I kind of feel bad for you guys and let you back into the softy bubble. So we'll see what happens this weekend.
Where's the confidence at right now, all seriousness aside, like with this, with Washington, the way they play, they lose to Stanford, they win last week. And where are you at with the Dogs right now?
Well, if you would have asked me that question a week and a half ago, I would have been in a much different space. And I'm not frankly sure how much different it should be after playing Arizona. I mean, look, I mean, Arizona's defense is god-awful. I mean, they are just terrible. I'm not even sure if they're Pac-12 or even Power 5, caliber defense. And Washington just walked all over those guys in the second half. 38 points. Jacob Eason was freaking amazing. 8 of 10, buck 75, couple of touchdowns. Perfect passer rating by NFL standards of 158.3. And then seeing number 15, Puka Nacua, the freshman from Utah, step up and play the way he did made me feel pretty good. But then I went back home and realized it was freaking Arizona. I mean, if this was like, I don't know, maybe even like a USC or an Arizona State or even a Stanford or you guys down there in Oregon, maybe I would have felt a little better. But I guess in the end, look, Washington needed a game like that because, frankly, their offense for the most part in the last couple weeks has been terrible. They had a touchdown pass to Aaron Fuller in the early part of the fourth quarter in that game, guys, on Saturday. That was the first touchdown catch by a wide receiver since the third quarter of the BYU game 12 quarters ago.
Wow.
That's how long it took a wide receiver to get back in the end zone. So I'm hoping that they found a little something-something, but now we're talking about going up against a much different animal defensively on Saturday, as you guys know.
Yeah, the offensive woes are funny, too, because Oregon fans are feeling the same way. They finally got it going, but it was Colorado, and you know how bad Colorado is defensively, so it's hard to put a lot of stock into it. We're talking with Softy at SoftyKJR on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Oregon, Washington this weekend. You know, we've heard from Husky fans, too, the last couple of years. It was just a weird situation around Browning where he was such a successful quarterback, but there was always the desire for more, even though we accomplished a ton, all-time wins leader, all that stuff. And it felt like all I heard from Husky fans was just wait. Easton's the dude. Wait till this guy takes over. What's not clicking there? I mean, I know the receivers haven't been great, but the number's not jumping off the page at me. What's not clicking with Eason right now?
Well, it was clicking Saturday in the second half. I'll tell you that right now. But again, like we just talked about, it's against Arizona. It was also clicking against USC too. Look, I think in the end, let's not make this hard. Catch the ball, right? I mean, you go back and look at their two losses against California and against Stanford, and the biggest consistent theme is guys dropping footballs. They had 6 drops, I think, against Cal, and 5 or 6 more against Stanford. Tight ends dropping balls, wide receivers dropping balls, running backs dropping balls. Some people have said Jacob Eason throws the ball too hard, which I think is ridiculous. Catch the freaking ball. You got balls bouncing off receivers' faces, balls bouncing off receivers' chests. And I think that now with the arrival of Puka Nacua, honestly, I think the rest of that receiving core, including Aaron Fuller and Andre Bocelli and Chuka McClatcher, who are all upperclassmen, is on notice that if you guys don't get the job done, we got a bunch of 4-star guys, including Puka, including Marcus Spike or Austin Osborne from California, who can step in and take your job right away. So, again, I'm hoping that those days are behind them with that second half of the game on Saturday versus Arizona. I'm not going to be convinced of that until I see it on Saturday versus you guys.
Two-parter for you, Softy. One, are you surprised what you've seen post-Jonathan Smith when he left for Oregon State and what that offense has been now for almost a season and a half now? And then two, are you surprised just in general the offense largely in his tenure hasn't been the thing people talk about with Washington under Chris Peterson? It's been the defense.
Right. Well, it's funny because they're second in the conference in scoring right now. The Huskies are at 36.4 points a game. They're actually averaging about a half a point more than Oregon is. But I think we all know that part of that is because of the weak non-conference schedule that Washington played. And outside of the Auburn game, Oregon didn't play anybody either. So am I surprised that UW's offense is struggling? A little bit, yeah. I mean, I would think that, you know, whether it's Jonathan Smith or whether it's Butch Hamden or whether it's Jeff Tedford as an advisor, whatever the hell role he played back in 2016, the main theme should be Chris Peterson, right? As long as Chris Peterson's here, this offense should be clicking, just like in Seattle with the Seahawks. As long as Pete Carroll's here, the defense should be clicking. So I am a little bit surprised that, you know, what they've become from an identity perspective. They've become a football team that really relies on their defense and their run game. But I think, again, part of that has been recruiting. I mean, they are recruiting a different animal of wide receiver now than they were 3 or 4 years ago. Go back and look at 2015, 16, 17. The type of wide receiver Washington was getting as far as body style versus what they're getting now, it's a much different looking player. But, you know, the thing is, guys, is that UW graduated 9 starters on their defense last year, and they're still sitting there averaging only 19 points a game on defense. Not as good as Oregon, who's under 10 points a game, but I think that the defensive job that they've done so far has been adequate. Yes, the California game in the second half was a total freaking disaster against those guys. They ran all over them. They threw all over freshman corners, including Kyler Gordon. The hope up here is that this football team is much different physically, much different experience-wise, even now a month later versus where they were 4 weeks ago against California.
Yeah, we're talking with Softy KJR up in Seattle. Give him a follow on Twitter, @SoftyKJR. You mentioned the defense. We know that. I mean, they've had good defenses throughout, and it's always a challenge when you go against them. And the Oregon offense still has a lot of questions to answer, and I think this weekend we'll find out just where they're at and how much confidence they have in running the ball and throwing the ball. How do you think they're going to defend Oregon? I mean, as good as Justin Herbert is and all the praise he's had his issues in big games, people are waiting for him to have that kind of marquee moment as the Oregon quarterback. We know they like to run the football, but the tight end's out.
Sure.
How do you think they defend Oregon this weekend?
Well, first of all, Breland being out is huge. I mean, let's not mince words on that, right? I mean, the guy might be the best tight end in the country, certainly the conference. And, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he's Justin Herbert's favorite target, right? And now he's gone for the game on Saturday. So to not have a guy like that is a huge blow for Oregon and potentially a huge gift for UW, because one thing they've had problems with is linebackers and coverage. And, you know, a tight end down the seam is not something I would like to see on Saturday. So I'm glad to hear that Breland's not playing. I think this whole idea of, well, you want to play a team at their best, screw that, man. That's insane, okay? If Oregon announced today that Verdell and Justin Herbert were not playing, I'd be doing freaking jumping jacks up in Seattle. And you should do the same thing with Jacob Eason and guys like Savon Ahmed and Trey Adams, okay? So that's number one. Number two, if they get off on the ground, meaning Oregon, on Saturday, they're done, all right? There's no way that Oregon can have a big day on the ground, just like they had a year ago, going for almost a buck 80 against Washington, and the Huskies expect to win a game like that. They have to stop the run first and foremost on Saturday. If they don't do that, they're going to be in big trouble. So I just think loading the box, I think better safety play, and they've made a small tweak at safety. Cam Williams, who was the freshman, been starting at safety the last 4 or 5 games. He was replaced by another freshman in Asa Turner, who's a bit of a better athlete than Cam Williams is, and I thought their blitz packages and their run game, at least against JJ on Saturday in Tucson, their run game defense was a little bit better. I mean, Arizona had some, yes, had some big plays on the ground, but overall their run defense was better. That was an offense in Arizona that was averaging 37 points a game, and the Huskies held those guys to 27. Khalil Tate looked terrible, okay, awful, against the Husky defense last Saturday. How much of that was Khalil Tate being banged up and not being at 100%? I don't know. I do know this. They played a guy who the week before against Colorado was unbelievable, and they made him look stupid in the game on Saturday in Tucson. So I'm hoping the defense took a big step as well.
Yeah, you know,
I would say, look, the advantage in this game, offense versus defense, sorry to interrupt you, if it's Oregon's offense versus Washington's defense, you would think that Oregon would have the advantage. They've got a senior-laden offensive line. They got an upperclassman, a quarterback, going up against a very inexperienced, for the most part, except for Miles Bryant, front seven. So if they can get by that first leg of the Husky defense. We're talking about Sam Taimani, Ryan Bowman, Joe Tryon, players like that. If they can get into the second layer of that Husky defense, that's going to be a big, big advantage for Oregon because they have the experience there and Washington doesn't.
Well, I was just going to say something to that effect is I don't know if Oregon really does have an advantage. Oregon on the road, Softy, against really good teams. I don't know if they've proven anything yet with crystal ball. Yeah. So seeing that offense travel is going to be another thing. I was actually just going to ask, are you doing okay? What's this week like on you emotionally?
This week is great, man. Are you kidding me? I mean, it can't get any worse for me. My freaking dog just died last week, and the freaking Huskies got hammered by Stanford last weekend. So anything that happens in a positive perspective for me is a freaking bonus. So losing a football game to Oregon is going to suck, but it can't compare to me losing my dog last Tuesday, who I loved for 14 years. Not sure if you guys have dogs or not down there.
We do.
They're like freaking family members, so I was crushed on Tuesday night when we had to put Lucy down on Wednesday. So I kind of kind of makes you put things in perspective, but then you know what? Yeah. I'll get to that game on Saturday, and I will see all those Neanderthal Oregon fans driving up from Eugene in their freaking Winnebagos like they just drove out of freaking, you know, Area 51, for God's sakes. And then all of a sudden, I'll say, you know what? The hell with perspective. I want to kick their freaking ass.
How does it feel to know that Washington has a losing record against Oregon since 1977?
Doesn't feel good at all, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
You know what's funny about this game, guys, and maybe you feel the same way, maybe you don't. I don't think either team has really proven jack squat to anybody.
No.
I mean, the best thing, when you combine the resumes of these two teams for this game on Saturday, what does Washington have? Well, they got a nice win in Provo. They got a nice win over USC. Have a big game against Arizona where they, for the most part, shut down a pretty good Arizona offense. But in the end, does that really translate across the country? A win over BYU, a win over a down USC program, a win over freaking Arizona? Nobody cares about that. The best thing that these two teams may have on their resume might be the first three quarters that Oregon played against Auburn.
Yeah.
And outside of that, there really is nothing else there. Colorado, the defense against Colorado, they had 30 points the previous week versus Arizona, and you guys hold them to three. So there really isn't anything that stands off the page right now that's really impressive on either side of the ball. The most impressive thing may be that loss and the way they played against Auburn up until the middle part of that fourth quarter. So I think this is a real show-me game for both these freaking teams.
Yeah, you know, the North standings, too, are huge. Oregon wins. It's a stranglehold, and Washington wins. They're right back in the race.
It's over.
Yeah.
Oregon wins. It's over. Forget about it.
Where are you at, Softy, right now with Peterson's record in bowl games? I know that's something Duck fan does point out as the 1-4 and you guys coming up. So where are you at with Peterson right now just in terms of trusting that they're going to take that next step?
It's time to take the next step, right? I mean, I think you love overall what the guy's done. I mean, he's been here 6 years. He's gone to a Final Four. He's gone to a Rose Bowl. He's been to three straight New Year's Six bowl games. He's put a player on the all-conference team on the offensive line for the first time in 15 years. Had a first team, or excuse me, a offensive player of the year in a conference, a defensive player of the year in a conference. He's signing five-star recruits, four-star recruits. He's doing everything that we ask him to do except for that big signature victory. I mean, his signature victories so far are 70 points against you guys in 2016, winning every single Apple Cup until now from the end of time with Mike Leach there, and then the two Pac-12 championship games against Colorado and Utah. But what you don't have is when you play the Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama, you don't have the win, and you don't even really have the competitiveness. I mean, those three games, for the most part, they've been hammered. In all three, the scoreboard looks different in the Rose Bowl, and the scoreboard looks different in the Fiesta Bowl, But for the most part, those games were done by halftime. So I think that's the next step for Chris Peterson, and Husky fans are obviously anxious for that to happen.
Yeah. Hey, we enjoyed it. Dave Softy Mahler, KJR, at Softy KJR on Twitter. Don't block too many people this weekend. Enjoy the game.
Nah,
all right?
Block them all, Softy. Block them all. It's fun.
I did not enjoy this interview, and I'm glad it's over.
Later,
Softy. Sorry about your dog, dude.
Yeah. But later.
All right. There you go. Dave Softy Mahler. Good stuff. Oregon, Washington. That was pretty cordial. Pretty cordial. I think he's coming in. I think both fan bases are coming into a certain point of, and he's right.
He felt very realistic in that interview.
Yeah, I think both people are coming in saying, like, prove it.
Yeah.
I think there's a prove it for both. Like, Oregon's looked better this year, and they have head-to-head wins over Stanford and Cal, and Washington doesn't, but there's a prove it of on the road, Herbert in a big game, right? Like, there's a prove it there. And for Washington, there's a prove it of this season. I mean, they haven't looked good at times. The front seven has struggled, and they need to go, if they want to keep their chances alive in the Pac-12, they have to win this game.
I know Oregon has got the two-game lead in the conference because of those losses. This one, though, feels exactly how last year felt. Same energy. Same, oh my God, is the winner of this one going to go win the Pac-12? What's going to happen? And I know Oregon ultimately fell a little short of that, and the Huskies ended up winning the conference again.
Sure.
But it's nice when you have a big rivalry game, have that feel going into it. And I think for sure, even with a two-game lead, you've got that because I don't trust Oregon yet on the road. I need to see that with my own two eyes. And then also, I'm just picturing that Husky offense versus that Duck defense. Are they going to do anything? That Husky offense has been bad. Yep. I know they average the most points. What do you say? 36 a game in the conference.
Yeah, that's one of those Oregon numbers from last year. Yeah. It's a misleading stat.
That helps when you play nobody.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, I'm going to push the mail sack to 2:30 since we're not going to have a whole lot of time for that because we went way long there. Way long with Dave Softy.
It's fun to talk to somebody that has something vested in a rivalry.
Without
like
a doubt, man, that guy, it's an incredible level of energy, is it not? Like, he just goes. Like, he just wind him up and he just does not stop.
I had never heard of him before I interned in Seattle, and I actually had help on his show. Uh-huh. I couldn't believe he did a 3-hour show, and I don't think he's breathed one time.
It just, yeah.
He now has to be a co-host.
Oh, really?
And I don't know how that goes. If he gets less airtime, if the other co-host just doesn't talk at all, that guy can talk, man.
How about that? I do want to ask an officiating question. We have a poll question on that today. I'm going to bring that up on the other side. But we will get to the mail sack coming up at 2:30. So keep your questions coming in at 55305. They can be sports or non-sports related. We'll answer them. We'll get to them coming up at the bottom of the hour. Back after this on The Fan.
Yeah, the Bonnie boat was won as we sail into the mist.
Welcome back. Yeah, we'll get to the mail sack coming up at 2:30.
Mail sack.
Mail sack!
Good questions coming in. One guy is getting tested by his wife.
Oh, like with a friend?
No, I'll explain.
Oh, okay.
And we had a guy text in looking for parenting advice for their children's rooting interests.
Oh, no. I don't know if I like answering the parenting advice questions.
Did you see, by the way, the guy that had the hot take on Daniel Hudson taking paternity leave? There was one reporter who went to Twitter.
Was it you or Danforth?
No, it was not, believe it or not. And somebody, I think it was...
It was a media member?
There was a media member that did it. And then somebody asked, what is it, Sean Doolittle, right, as the other reliever for the Nats, formerly of the A's. They asked him after, like, game two, like, hey, what do you think about him leaving, blah, blah, blah. And Doolittle's answer was like, anybody who's opposed to somebody being there for their children being born is a total a-hole. Like, that was, like, his only answer.
Well, no,
response.
He said,
something like that.
I'll have to go find it. But, yeah, it was...
He's 100% right.
Anybody's response to somebody having a child anything other than congratulations,
right.
I hope everybody's healthy, is an a-hole.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. There was one guy, you should see the ratios on the tweet, too. He sent out a tweet like, come on, man, team, NLCS, never been here before. You know, where are you at? And they're up 3-0 without him, so I think they're doing just fine. He'll be back for the World Series. By the way, Jeff Passan wrote a really good piece on it, if you haven't seen it, on ESPN.
Oh, on Hudson?
On his, like, catching. It was like a planes, trains,
and
automobiles thing.
Yeah, that's right.
To try and get there for the birth of his kid. It was a really well-done piece. I did want to bring this up quickly. We're on the note of Oregon and Washington.
God, you should lose your media right
if you have that take.
Yeah.
It
was different for you.
I was young and immature.
We were really young. That was like 7 years ago.
I saw this. Andrew Nimick tweeted this out, and it's from Pro Football Focus. Get this. So just we were on the note of Oregon and Washington. Penei Sewell, by the way, in the Colorado game, had his first penalty ever.
I saw that, and he was really pissed. He didn't think he held the kid.
He didn't think it was a penalty.
And honestly, I watched the replay. Not a lot there.
Not a penalty.
It wasn't a lot there.
He just turned 19,
yep.
Which...
He's only 19. He looks older than me.
How is that possible? I loved the him getting the post-game interview because I've never seen that before either. Have you ever seen an offensive lineman get a post-game walk-off interview?
Were you surprised, though? Because the theme I was getting was this game sucks so bad. Brock Huard and What's-His-Face have nothing else to talk about. So all they focused on for the next hour and a half was, watch, I'm telling you, you watch 58. Penei Sewell.
Well, Pro Football Focus has this on Penei Sewell at the halfway point of the season. Quote, he's currently on pace to break the record for the highest graded single season from an offensive tackle in our time of grading college football.
Over Ohio State kid, Orlando Pace?
I don't know if they've been grading. It's just in our time grading college football.
Oh, in our time. I'm sorry.
So I don't know how long they've been grading. So they've been around for Pace. A number of years, but probably not back to Pace. But yeah, they're saying the highest grade they've ever given out to an offensive lineman.
Well, look, the kid came in with a lot of hype. I remember Sukanik said, I watched the video. I don't really care about high school videos, but you could tell with this kid, he was different. I think Cristobal spoke on it many times. There was just a sense that he was going to be this special one. And he's lived up to the billing and then some. I think he's actually over-delivered in terms of expectation. He's as solid a lineman as you could possibly ever want for your team to have. And I think he's actually going to end up being a very vital piece to their success on Saturday.
Yeah, it's amazing. You saw last year the direct correlation when he went. I know there were other reasons for it, too, so it just wasn't all on him. But when he got hurt against Washington, that offense was not the same until he came back at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, his ability to get off and shed the first block and get to that next level and take out a linebacker or a safety who's down, that ability is a special trait that you don't see like every player have.
Yeah.
The cool thing about him, too, is he's only 19. He's going to be back next year.
He has to be, but then he's gone after
that. Then he's gone, but at least you're going to have 3 years of that kind of play. And then his little brother is supposed to be a stud as well, and he's tweeting pictures of him in the Duck uniform in all pink saying, let's go.
Yeah, he's the prize recruit of Oregon's class in 2019.
Hey, look, I don't have the details of every player. Maybe he's a heavy Oregon lean, but my money would for sure be on that he goes to Oregon, right?
Yeah, he's down to his Final Four. It's like Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Oregon kind of Final Four.
So unless he's the kind of kid that likes to, create his own pathway like Pittman did at Oregon versus going down to SC with his brother.
Sure.
You're going to get another stud, Sewell, which is going to be just incredible to have. Anytime you can get in on a family and get the family member as well. James Rogers, Jaquizz Rogers.
Yeah, you get the both.
You get the brothers. Oh, man, you're loving life.
Double whammy. Somebody texted in and asked who's calling the Oregon game Saturday. It is the 12:30 game on ABC, and I believe it's McDonough and Blackledge.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite broadcasting
crews. That's a good call.
Yeah. I love McDonough. I think Monday Night Football misses him. He does a great job. And Todd Blackledge, I think, is one of the more underrated college football analysts. He's solid. Compared to what some of the other crews that get thrown out and you could call in your games, I'll take McDonough and Blackledge every week.
Well, and McDonough and Gruden I wasn't a huge fan of, but McDonough, Blackledge, I like.
Let me tell you what, man, that's a bad opinion. Okay? Knock on wood if you're with me. All right.
Oh, I liked McDonough.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
McDonough Gruden was better than what we currently have, I'll tell you that.
Very true. Very true. All right, get your mail sack questions in. 55305 is the Betty Today text line. We got some good ones, and we will dive into them. Sports or non-sports related coming up next. Hey, which sport has the worst officiating? That was a poll question today. We'll answer that coming up. Close out the show. Ask if the Nationals will sweep the NLCS. They blew out the Cardinals last night in Game 3. Houston still up 2-0 in this Game 3 of the ALCS. Top of the fourth inning with two outs.
I have a mail sack question for you two mofos.
Okay, would you like to start with your mail sack question or a listener mail sack question?
Swags, calm down.
Look, I know the boss is out of town.
Yeah,
but
easy.
Come on.
Is that a bad word?
I mean,
you get what I'm saying, sure. But I'm not saying.
Okay. I would ask, is it necessary?
No. Okay. Here's the question.
Mail sack.
So the wife went on this relay race with me. I got her to actually participate in this.
You're getting her into running.
It's pretty amazing. If you knew my wife, you would know she hates exercise in general. To get her to do a relay race was incredible.
Most normal people hate exercise.
Even people that exercise hate exercise. So sure, back was kind of hurting, a little sore.
Sure.
I got hooked up with a free massage gift card. And I said, I'm going to schedule a massage for the wife. Well, I told her this. Oh, double. I told her this, and she goes, meh, I might just go to the chiropractor. I said, okay. So I waited a couple more weeks. I waited till after the race. I said, hey, I'm going to schedule that massage this week. She goes, I think I'm just going to go to the chiropractor. I don't know. Am I wrong? And not even bringing it up ever again, and then just scheduling and using the massage for myself, because I, unlike her, love getting massaged.
No. If she doesn't like getting massage in the first place, then no.
She just feels a little uncomfortable sometimes.
Sure. And when a stranger touching and rubbing you.
You've brought it up. You've said, hey.
Yeah, multiple chances.
Made it clear if you would like to use this because you're feeling pain.
Right.
By all means. She has not said yes.
And she's not one that traps me with stuff like that. Like, she's not,
I gotcha.
She's pretty forthright, but I just want to make sure I'm in the clear here.
You've given it multiple opportunities in a significant amount of time. If she had wanted it, she would have said, yeah, let me go do that. I need some work.
My back hurts. I need a massage.
You're right, because when she tells me she wants it, I know.
There you go. All right, we ready for this? First one of the day.
Yeah.
Swigart's going to lose it today. Male swag. Male swag.
Male swag.
Male swag.
Yes, I am male swag.
Male swag question for you. My son, no matter which game we're watching, always picks the team that's winning as the team he's pulling for. How do I keep him from becoming a Patriots, Yankee fan, and all-around front runner?
How old is he?
It does not clarify. I'm assuming a pretty young age, if that's his. I'm assuming we're talking under the age of, like, 9.
Okay. This is where you need to take him out to... not necessarily a game because it's hard to have that interaction, but if there's a clinic, if the Blazers are putting on a clinic or the old Anthony Newman, have him have a personal connection with an athlete that is hopefully from a team or a school that you are okay with. Because I think once those kids make those personal, that sets deep.
It's a game changer.
And then he can understand kind of that emotional... because right now he likes winning. Everybody's excited this team. And so he's just riding that wave. But the minute you can have him have a personal connection in some fashion, that's when the roots sink in and he'll start to understand how fandom seeps in at an early age.
Yeah, I don't know if it depends on the age, but I would say don't worry about that stuff yet.
Now, if he's a teenager, he's just antagonizing you.
Sure.
Well, yeah, he's probably being that. But if he's a kid, I wouldn't worry about that. Now, let me tell you this, too.
Every kid's a little bit of a front runner.
I didn't grow up with a father, so this is going to be a much different answer. But my perspective is mostly even my friends growing up as kids that had both parents in the house, you tend to gravitate towards success because no kid wants to root for a loser.
No.
Right?
Being unless you grow up in Cleveland.
Right. And in that, you're cursed.
You have no choice.
But I think there's nothing you can do about it. You hope that he follows your teams. And if they don't, that's going to suck. But they're a kid. It's natural for them to gravitate towards the winning situation. It's why I'm a Braves fan. It's why I grew up as a Niner fan. I'm a product of a bandwagon 90s kid.
Sure. As a kid, every kid, and I said that, I firmly believe it, is every kid is a small percentage of front runner.
Yes.
Right? Like I bounced around as a kid as a Michigan. I loved Michigan. I loved the Florida State. Right? I mean, you bounce North Carolina. Like you want to follow and root for, and you think you're a fan of those teams. You're not really. And then as you get older, you kind of solidify and figure out which ones you want to stick with. I'll take it one step further. I think your point is valid, Swigart, on camps and allowing the, you know, person-to-person contact with athletes. I'm assuming since he didn't include an NBA team that he has no problem with the Blazers. But I think a big one, too, on further than what you said, is if you have the opportunity to take them to a game as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you have the chance, because I remember as a kid going to our spring breaks every year when I was a kid. Not every year, but a lot of years, was going down to watch the Giants in spring training. And every summer, we'd get off of school, and we'd go down and watch a game and watch Bonds in left field, a Candlestick, and you'd freeze your ass off. Like, those are memories that you have, like, watching the game, and you see a big home run, they win. Like, you become a part of it, and it really sticks with you, as opposed to if you're just watching a game on TV saying, hey, that's the team that we root for.
Yeah.
I think if you have that experience of going to a game, the atmosphere, the crowd going crazy... You're hooked, man. That's all it takes for a kid.
You also develop something that you don't think about till you're older. When you look at the Giant logo, there's always going to be a party that thinks you're father. That's important.
Yeah, there's,
You know what I mean? Like
that relationship was a big deal.
That's my dad.
Yeah. All right, another one. This is a sports-related one as well. This is the one, is my wife playing a trick on me?
Oh, okay.
My mom received mail sack.
Mail sack.
Mail sack.
Mail sack.
My mom, that's almost Sam Elliott right there.
Sour bro.
My mom received box seats to the Cowboys-Eagles game on Sunday. Big game.
That's pretty
box
good tickets.
Seats.
Yeah. Box seats.
Box seats.
At Jerry
World.
Her work is paying for flights, for her and one for another person.
Oh.
So box seats.
You only pay for his hotel.
All you're paying for is hotel. My daughter is due the Tuesday after the game.
Oh.
My wife is telling me to go to the game, even though it could risk missing my child's birth. Do I take her up on the offer? Is she just teasing me?
Take her up on the offer.
You're not going.
So you would go to the game.
Let me tell you why.
If this is you.
Yes.
So the game's Sunday.
Yes.
I'm assuming by next Tuesday he means literally 2 days afterwards, yeah. Not like a week.
But that's the due date. She might carry longer, might be a week after. That
could
happens
come early.
A lot.
Yeah.
Look, here's the, this is a personal preference. If you're okay missing the birth,
how about the Cowboys?
That's on you. But what I would say is my wife is very honest about everything. So if she says, go do this, she ain't laying a trap. And I'm willing to take it given the situation, but I fully understand if you don't want to dive into those waters.
Did he say first kid, first child?
He didn't
specify.
He does
not clarify.
Now, if it's four, if it's four or five,
it just
That's fair to the fourth kid. Yeah, didn't care about you, little Susie.
You don't matter.
First kid, you're not going.
Yeah.
You, because every time she tells the story about birth, it's going to be mentioned that you took off for the Cowboys game.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun story.
And you're going to look like a heel.
But what if you include in the story?
You're wearing the albatross.
Yeah, but she told me to go to the game.
It doesn't matter.
This really depends on their relationship. If he trusts her when she says things, this isn't a, he's not being played. But you do have to mentally go into it. I could miss the birth of my child. And if you're okay with that, then that's between you and the wife.
I think the other follow-up I would have, too, is he said my mom received, his mom clearly got the box seats through work, and the work is paying for all this stuff. The other follow-up would be, is there a chance this happens again in the future? Like, is this a one-off thing? Like, when I went to the Masters, my brother got the tickets through his work, and we had it to the nines. Like, it was the best sporting experience of my life. That's never going to happen again.
I'm assuming that his mom works in... No,
because they said flight. Something. Sort of work connection there. But I would say don't go. That would be my advice.
Somebody texts in, Admiral Akbar is saying, it's a trap.
It's a trap. All right, let's fly through a couple of these. Mail sack, loaded chili cheese fries or nachos?
Oh, nachos.
Nachos.
Every day of the week. Give me guac, sour cream, salsa, cheese, meat.
Beef bourguignon.
I love chili cheese fries, but nachos.
Mail sack, which bear is best?
Polar bear.
Do you see the, there's a video going around, polar bear wandered onto a baseball field up in Manitoba.
Oh, no.
200-pound, it looked like a adolescent or a cub, not a cub, but it was like 200 pounds.
So
they had to get the Canadian wildlife people out there to tranquilize it. And
I have a cousin who has a theory that it's going to be a bad thing if the polar bears go extinct, not because they're extinct, but because he thinks they'll go as a species extinct and they'll evolve into a flying polar bear.
Whoa. It feels like something out of
these animals are going to change, man, with the landscape of the world. They're just, it's natural going to happen. So he thinks polar bears are going to fly.
Mail sack, who is more likely to use their media voice while getting it on with the missus?
Ooh.
Is it A,
ooh,
Bill Belichick, or B, Jason Swigard? On to Seattle.
I'm going Lady Swag. First on the bed. He's played the game. Look at his face. He's played the game.
Let's play broadcaster color commentator.
No. On to Seattle.
What would that even like? What's that talk like
I
for
know,
him?
That's not good.
I've answered that.
Do you
question.
Want to do you consent on taking your pants off?
Your leg to the left, please.
I feel like Swag's walked in and been like, I was at a pickles game. Let's play the pickle game.
Bell Budding!
Portland sports leader in this house.
On the fan.
On the fan.
All right. There you go. Mail sack every Tuesday.
Belichick's actually, I think Swags would at least be funny. Swag would probably go with it because she's into theater. Belichick's would be creepy, weird, and probably be arrested for talking that way.
I think I've answered that question. Next.
Are you close? Are you finished?
I'm on to Seattle.
I'm on to this sandwich.
Are we done here? All right, there you go.
I like
I like football.
I like football. I like lamp. I sound like Brick Tamlin now.
Beef brisket.
Do you think she takes the shirt off? I like boobs.
Oh, yeah.
I like boobs.
Bill's Beef talking stroganoff. Dirty to me. Dirty talk.
Oh, you really want me to get dirty?
Oh, yeah.
We ran a 4-3 with no blitz, safety covered over the top. We got the interception.
You like that zone coverage? All right.
I can't even talk in that voice.
I can't do it either.
I have to, like, change it so I can actually talk.
You just have to go to a soft whisper.
Yeah, you can go to a soft whisper, but we're talking
Stephen
about
Stephen A's a good one, too. Stephen A would for sure do it. All right, there you go. Mail sack every Tuesday. We usually do it at 2:15.
That's preposterous.
But we moved
you didn't
it back.
Finish. That's preposterous.
Astros still up 2-0. Bottom of the fourth, game 3 of the ALCS. We'll keep you updated on that. We got a poll question to answer. And does anybody care about the NLCS tonight? We'll close up the show there.
No, I don't. I don't.
On the Fan.
Fast food feels funny.
What's Roger Klotz up to right now? Where's Patty Mayonnaise when you need her, huh?
You know, the funniest thing about that show is
why Gart's face when that song came on. What
you don't know heck? Who the Beats are?
You don't remember the Beats?
No. Dude, legendary band.
You.
Oh, God. You never
Killa
heard of
Tofu?
You think if they updated a show like Doug.
Doug funny.
They'd have like a twisted sense of humor and they'd go, oh, everybody thought Roger Klotz was going to be the loser. Sure. Turns out he's the executive.
Oh, he's the boss.
And
now.
Doug works for him.
They should make an adult version of that show. Like they're all grown up and.
Didn't they try to do a high school one?
Did they really?
I think when I was like 12 or something, they did an older one and I was like, yeah, it sucked.
That show's awful. Gerrit Cole just got out of another jam. They had 2 on. The Yankees did in the fourth, got a flyout. So it's 2-0 going to the 5th inning, game 3 of the ALCS. Game 4 in the NLCS is tonight. Will we watch the game?
No, I
you won't watch any of it?
No, I have a dinner I'm going to with an aunt who's in town from Alaska. I will not watch. I don't have any desire to watch this.
The start, there's really nothing else all that compelling on sports-wise this evening. Since I'm just chilling. I had events last night, so I'll just be chilling at home.
You don't dive into like a Netflix thing, and then if the game's good, you'll turn it on?
No, I'll probably, if the game's crappy, I will probably go to NHL TV and watch my Canucks at 7 o'clock.
There you go.
The Canucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still
They're
get
good
the,
this year.
When you buy the MLB Extra Innings package on Comcast, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud.
Oh.
But usually when you buy, because I'm a big MLB Extra Innings guy all summer.
Got to watch the Giants.
But those channels turn into the NHL channels.
Yeah, they use the same channel. So when the seasons cross over, you get a little bonus.
You get it. And last year, they never shut me off.
They kept it.
They
nice.
Kept it all oh. year. And I didn't pay for it.
Like,
this is great, man.
The funny thing would be if you didn't know that you did pay for it. They just charged you and you got, what is that? Front ice, what is that called? Center ice?
Center ice, yeah.
They gave you that package and you thought you got it for free, but you actually paid $250.
Automatic deposit, I just don't notice it. What happened to all that money? Yeah, I Need More Allowance was another classic hit by the Beats. Oh, the classic hit.
I Need More Allowance, yodelé.
Good stuff.
How do you not know who the Beats
good,
are,
that's
Swag?
That's way past his time.
Them, Rolling Stones.
I mean, these are classic bands of the American era.
You want to know the dumb thing is... I saw the Rolling Stones as a kid, like a poster of them.
Uh-huh.
And I actually asked an uncle if that was the Beats.
If that was, yeah.
And he goes, what the hell are you talking about?
Who the hell are the Beats, man?
And it was at that point I realized they were a spoof of the Rolling Stones.
Got it. All right, let's get this poll question in. Yeah, by the way, I probably won't watch much of that game tonight either. I got a lot of stuff. It's supposed to rain for like a week straight now after today. So it's like anything you got to do outside.
It's time to get it done now.
Get it done today, man. All right, poll question. Which Core 4 sport has the worst officials? Now, we asked this because the main story today was the officiating blunders in the National Football League last night as the refs helped hand the Green Bay Packers a 23-22 win over Detroit. So your four options, of course, Core 4, NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL. Now, it is topical, so I take that with a grain of salt, but the NFL ran away with it. Do we agree with the listeners?
No.
Okay,
it's the NBA. The NFL officiating situation is maybe a bigger mess than NBA, but I think that more has to do with all the crap that's going on above them and how they keep changing things up and tacking on and review and all of those things. I think the NFL game is the most difficult to officiate. But as far as who's the worst, I think it's the NBA.
Hmm. You agree with that?
I do not. I see where he's coming from. I mean, it's not like the NBA is not a close second for me. I think largely, I mean, the free throws have gone up a little bit for the superstar players, but they've been doing what they've been doing for quite some time. We just like to bitch more because we have social media as an outlet.
Sure.
But I think it's the NFL because they're dealing with the most of it right now. The NBA is going to start a week from tomorrow. We're not going to talk about the NBA for 2 months.
No, yeah, certain talking points here and there. If something big happens,
the Blazers are 10-0. Yeah, whatever the start is, we'll bring it up time to time.
That is wild. I got to keep reminding myself. That starts next week.
A week from today is the tip-off at home against the Nuggets. But the NFL, we don't take 2 months off the season, right? Football guy out there that's okay watching basketball after a certain point, he'll watch and or she'll watch and they'll not like the officiating and be annoyed by it. But you ignored it for 3 months, 2 months, whatever it is. You don't do that in the NFL. So you see every single game, every single blunder, and then it's always a big talking point for about 2 or 3 days every single week. I know the NBA is not perfect. It is a very close second, but I'm going to lean the NFL here as well.
Yeah, I would probably vote NBA with Swigart on that one. I do think the NFL, it's a much tougher job for them. But I think those are the two that ran away with it. I did enjoy there was 1% of the people that voted for the NHL. So I appreciate that 1% out there voting hockey. And then 3% went with Major League Baseball. One thing, too, we had a listener point out on an officiating note in baseball that this is on the game's on FS1 today with Buck and John Smoltz calling it. They don't use a strike zone on Fox. I've kind of gotten accustomed to those, like on the telecast where they just have the box up there for you. They don't use that on the Fox broadcast.
They do. It was breaking the broadcast, so they turned it off.
Oh, really?
That's why the camera kept going.
On the screen. That's why the glitch was there. All okay, right. That makes sense then. Yeah, because I was the listener texted that in, and I looked up, and I was like, that's right. Why isn't there a box up there on the screen?
Oh, hi, Mike.
Oh, hey, Mike. What's up, Mike?
They fixed the glitch.
He took it out. All right. Hey, tomorrow, Mario Cristobal is going to be on the show at 12:30.
Kyle Boniger at 1.
Kyle Boniger at 1 o'clock.
Talk some Pac-12 football with him.
We are loaded.
Loaded.
Today, if you missed it, we had the Joe Girardi on.
Yeah, we did.
Former manager of the New York Yankees. Yes, that Joe Girardi. He hopped on the show.
Well, we're going to have him on again before the World Series is over, but a listener made a good point. We didn't ask about the Portland Diamond Project.
No, we didn't. We probably should have, yeah.
I feel like I know what his answer is going to be.
Yeah, hey, great market. All right, cool.
We'll ask him next time.
And we had Dave Softy Mahler on. If you want to hear somebody scream, he was actually pretty contained today. I'll give him that.
He talked for 13 minutes and didn't breathe once. Pretty impressive.
He's got gills, man. It's nuts. He's like a lizard. So he talked about the Oregon-Washington game. So go check those. We'll tweet them out at Thurton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. That will do it for us. Thank you for being a part of our Tuesday. Mario Cristobal on the show tomorrow at 12:30. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.